Radio 4.
Dr. Finlay's Casebook. Adapted for radio from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin. With Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, Bill Simpson as Dr. Finlay. This week, Snares and Pitfalls by Clifford Hanley, adapted for radio by Pat Dunlop.
Plaisir d'amour ne dure qu'un moment.
What was that, Dr. Cameron?
French, Dr. Finlay. Plaisir d'amour ne dure qu'un moment.
Well, I know it doesn't mean pass the butter. At least I don't think so.
It means the pleasures of love endure but a moment.
What's that got to do with rheumatism?
The pleasure, Dr. Finlay, would hardly endure a moment if one of the parties had rheumatism.
Yes, but this Paris conference is on rheumatism. I doubt if they'll appreciate your comments on the pleasures of love, especially in that accent.
During the war, Dr. Finlay, I was official interpreter in my field hospital. I was well able to make myself understood.
Well, they'll all be speaking English at the conference.
It is a question of courtesy, Dr. Finlay. When visiting another country, good manners dictate that one should try to use the other man's tongue. I mean, I need to brush up my conversational French.
It's all the same. I should stick to pass the butter.
I prefer to be a little more ambitious. I am appalled by the thought of spending 5 days in Paris on an exclusive diet of butter. Mm.
It's all right, Dr. Finlay. I'll get it.
Oh, thank you, Janet.
Arden House? Yes, Sergeant. Yes, Dr. Finlay is here. Just one moment, please. Dr. Finlay, Sergeant Gilby would like a word. He's at the Cottage Hospital.
All right, Janet. Hello, Sergeant Gilby. See. How is she? Yes, I mean, has she been knocked about much? Yeah, well, I'll be all right away. Will you ask Matron not to give her anything until I've seen her? Thank you. Goodbye for now. Annie Dugan, she's been assaulted.
Well, that is no novelty in the Dugan family.
This time it's not a domestic matter, and it's not that kind of assault. Will you keep my supper warm for me, Janet? I'll be back as soon as I can.
Of course, I diagnosed a state of shock straight away, Dr. Finlay.
Mr. Sniven, how did you get involved in this?
It was Mr. Sniven who found the girl wandering down by the burn, Doctor.
I don't know how I ever managed to get her here.
You mean she didn't want to come?
And she didn't want to stay. You'd see the bruise in Sergeant Gilby's shin.
Oh, Mr. Sniven's exaggerating, Doctor. All the same, I would say she's not what you would call a willing patient.
Do you believe her story, Sergeant, about being assaulted?
Well, I think I'd prefer to have a medical opinion, Doctor.
Well, you never know with those Dugans. I've seen it happen before. Girl gets herself into trouble, then makes up a cock and bull story about being assaulted.
Well, we'd better have a look at her. Where is she?
In here, Doctor, in the side ward.
Get out, the lot of you!
Take it easy, Annie. We just want to talk to you and give you a wee examination.
What do you think, Dr. Finlay? Was she assaulted or wasn't she?
Well, you saw the bruises on her neck and arm, Sergeant. You also saw that she wouldn't allow me to examine her.
The girl hasn't yet said in front of me that she has been attacked.
But in that case, Sergeant Gilby, I'd let the whole matter drop.
Maybe. But I think I'll just get her down to the station tomorrow and see if we can get to the truth of it.
Well, I think I've persuaded her it's best to stay here for the night. I'll let her family know on the way home. Good night, Sergeant.
Good night, Dr. Finlay, and thanks for your help. Sorry to have kept you from your supper.
You shouldn't have bothered, dear. Oh, breakfast in bed. Isn't that nice? Oh, you're ruining me.
It's no bother, Auntie, really. My mother always says you work too hard for other people.
Oh, well, she's not far wrong. But it's you who should be resting while you're here. Who want to get the roses back in your cheeks, eh?
Oh, but I've got to help you, too. You've been so good to me.
You know, looking at you, maybe you better not have too many roses. We'll have the young men here like flies round a box.
Oh, I can't be bothered with boys. They've got such soft ideas.
Some of them are not so soft.
What do you mean, Auntie?
Never you mind, Alice. Just you enjoy yourself. Never mind the boys. Oh, my, this won't do. Lying in bed till all hours. I've got old Mrs. McCaffrey to see to.
Oh, let me come too, Auntie.
Oh, no. What could you do for a sick old woman?
Well, I could tidy up the house while you're looking after her. We'll do the messages together, and then we'll be there all the quicker.
Oh!
Oh. I'm sorry, sir. It was my fault. I never look where I'm going.
No, you must be going somewhere very urgently.
No, I'm just feeling happy.
Well, why wouldn't you be? Are you a visitor in town, Ray?
Yes, I'm on my holiday here. I'm staying with my auntie.
Good day to you, Dr. Finlay.
Oh, hello, Auntie. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know you were the doctor.
Yes, well, I'm glad it doesn't show.
Oh, you've met my niece then, Dr. Finlay?
Yes, I have.
How's the... Just cross the road and have a look in the drapers. See if there's any nice ankles.
Oh, all right, Auntie.
How is she, Doctor? The Dugan girl.
Your niece is a very pretty child.
Well, you don't need to change the subject, Dr. Finlay.
Is she anemic?
She's nothing of the kind. She's a wee turn now and then. She's just high-strung. Now, look, it was Annie Dugan I was talking about. You don't need to keep secrets from me, you know.
No, Mr. Sniffen, but now and again I like to try. Look, why don't you bring your niece in sometime and let me have a look at her?
There's no need, Dr. Finlay. I know how to look after my own kith and kin.
Good morning, Dr. Finlay.
Good morning, Janet. Could you dust somewhere else a moment so that I can get into the living room?
I would not do that if I were you, Dr. Finlay. Dr. Cameron is in there.
Well, that's not unusual at this time of day.
I mean, he is not alone, Dr. Finlay.
The patient?
A lady, Doctor. A Miss Wright. She is helping him with his French for the Paris conference.
Cherchez la femme, eh?
Nothing of the kind had crossed my mind, Dr.
Finlay. Oh, on y soit, Janet. Well, I've got to get my list of calls for this afternoon. I'm sure Dr. Cameron won't mind if I interrupt for a moment.
I'm afraid you're a little too fast for me, Miss Wright. I mean, on Petrovitz. Come in, Dr. Finlay. This is Miss Wright.
Oh, how do you do? Or should I say, comment allez-vous?
Ah, il est charmant, n'est-ce pas?
Miss Wright is helping me to improve my accent.
Oh, well, don't let me interrupt you. I just want to get some papers. They're just over there.
Interesting coincidence, Dr. Finlay. Miss Wright knows the hotel I should be staying in Paris.
Oh, very interesting.
The Saint-Raphael, near the Arc de Triomphe. Très confortable.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to take a walk.
Oh, vous allez faire une promenade.
No, I'm just going for a chatty-voo with Sergeant Gilby. Excusez-moi.
Dr. Finlay is not at the moment a candidate for higher education, Miss Wright.
He is young and impatient.
Oh, impatience is the prerogative of the young.
En français, mon élève.
Patience. No. L'impatience. L'impatience.
Nobody wants you when you're old, Dr. Finlay. They think of nobody but themselves.
You are not old, Mrs. Manderson. You're just a wee bit out of sorts.
I'm crippled and helpless. It's aye the same, Doctor. You spend your whole life working your fingers to the bone and nobody cares.
Nobody cares. You are not crippled, Mrs. Manderson.
You haven't got this leg to put up with.
Now, you have a few varicose veins, Mrs. Manderson. You'll feel a lot better if you keep moving.
And that son of mine never does a hand's turn for his mother. I slave day and night and I get no thanks for it. I haven't been across the door for 3 weeks.
Ah, away you go. I saw you at the shops yesterday afternoon.
And every step was agony. He's never here when I need him. You see?
Oh, you did say he was a wee bit peaky.
I'll till all hours at night, that's why. He uses the place like a hotel. He's getting into evil ways.
There's not much opportunity for evil in this town at night.
What is it, Mother?
The doctor wants to look at you.
There's nothing wrong with me. It's you he's come to see.
Are you sure you feel all right, Hugh?
I've told you there's nothing wrong with me. Anyway, I've got to go out.
Hugh, you come here this minute. Oh, that boy's going to be the death of me.
Hello there, Alice.
Oh, Dr. Finley, you startled me. I was just having a look at your car. It's a beautiful one.
It was once.
I'm going to have a car like that when I'm old.
Old?
You know, 25 maybe.
Will you not be too old to drive when you're 25?
You're teasing me, Dr. Finley. I mean, older. I hate being young.
Well, I wouldn't worry too much about it, Alice. You'll get over it. You know, you're looking a wee bit off colour. Are you feeling all right?
Oh, I'm fine, Doctor. It's just that I don't get out in the open much back home. This place is good for me.
All the same, you take it easy for a bit. Look, if you're going back to your aunt's without shopping, you can come with me. I've got to pass that place anyway.
Oh, you mean in the car? Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Oh, come on then. Climb in.
I've told you, Annie, I'll not keep you long.
I don't like police stations.
Like them or no, you'll put up with this one for 5 minutes. Now, Annie, I want the truth about this assault. Did it happen or not?
Not, didn't it? I don't want any trouble. I don't know why I said it. I was hysterical.
You can be charged with wasting the time of the police, you know.
They waste their time without any help from me.
None of your lip. There was no assault.
No. I've got my messages to go.
Annie, your two big brothers have been seen showing uncommon interest in the place where Mr. Sniffen found you.
Maybe they were pecking bluebells.
Now, listen to me. I'm the police in this place. We'll have no vigilantes, posses, lynch mobs or anything like that in Tannochbrae.
Oh, your head's full of trains and rails.
Look, Annie, you can afford to forget what happened if that's what you have in mind, but I can't. There are other gills in this town. Now, I want the truth. Well, I'm waiting. Were you or weren't you assaulted?
All right. Come on out, Alice. You're spied.
Sorry, Dr. Finley. I didn't mean to disturb your fishing.
Yeah, there's nothing much to disturb at the moment. Yeah, it must be about 3 weeks since I saw you. I thought you'd gone home to Glasgow. Must have been a kind of dull time for you in Tannochbrae.
Oh, no, it's been very nice. I like it dull. I mean, quiet, you know.
Mm. Not many young fellas about the place.
I don't like boys.
Oh?
Oh, they're so soft. They always want to be silly, holding people's hands and... Oh, you know, they're so immature.
Hey, tell me, Alice, what do you do when they try to hold your hand? Faint?
Once I did. How do you know?
Ah, you've seen the tape.
Oh, I don't want to have anything to do with boys. Not till I'm... Well, you know, till I'm...
Old?
Older.
25?
Yes. I'll have a car and a husband. Not a boy. A man. Someone nice and sophisticated.
And old.
You're laughing at me.
No. I'm just smiling.
And what are you smiling at, Dr. Finley?
I don't see a notice saying deux forces du sourire.
I fail to see, Dr. Finley, why you find my studying so risible.
Well, he's got the hooks in you. You know that. If you weren't so immersed in that François Villon book, you'd see it. It's a classic case. Spinster schoolteacher, middle-aged bachelor. Why, even the name's a bit sinister.
The name, Dr. Finley?
Miss Wright. That old bachelor spent their lives waiting for Miss Wright to come along.
The flippancy of your remark is matched only by its irrelevance.
All right. I'll bet you a fiver.
Oh, you know that I'm not a betting man. You'll bet a fiver at what?
She's after you. I mean, she's already out in the kitchen with Janet, getting her feet under the table.
Dr. Finley, this lady has merely elected out of the goodness of her heart to give a little of her leisure time to coaching me in French. Nothing more.
A fiver.
Done. And I shall spend it on champagne at the Hotel Saint Raphael.
I'll get it. Arden House, Dr. Finley. Yes? I see. All right, Mr. Sniffen, I'll be over right away. Now just keep her warm and comfortable.
I've finished peeling the potatoes, Miss McPherson. Where shall I put them?
Oh, in this pan here. Thank you, Miss Wright.
Is there something else I could do?
No, thank you. I can manage fine now.
The stew smells good. But are you not going to put some herbs in it?
Herbs?
It adds to the piquance. Makes all the difference.
I don't think the doctors would welcome any difference. Their tastes are down to earth.
A soupçon of the Continental would help to prepare Dr. Cameron for his visit to Paris.
Oh, you think it might improve his French pronunciation?
Maybe. He's making very good progress already.
You do seem to have a way with Dr. Cameron. He's not the easiest man in the world to cross. Temperamentally, I mean.
Oh, it's a simple secret, Miss McPherson.
Oh?
I've managed to establish a strictly teacher-pupil relationship.
Ah, so that's it. Well, it is a great thing to be truly professional. We'd better get those potatoes on if the doctors are going to get any lunch today.
What I don't understand is what she was doing on your stairs in the first place, Mrs. Niven.
Annie was in my bedroom, having a rest.
Well, she's got a bed in her own home, hasn't she?
In that house, with thousands of Dugans shouting and fighting round her. The lassie's not well. I let her come round here for a rest. It was my Christian duty.
Where's Alice?
What is it to do with Alice?
I just don't want her about here just now.
She's out.
Good. Then let's talk about Annie, shall we?
Is she going to be all right?
I think so. You were right about her being in trouble, weren't you?
What?
You mean you don't know that she was pregnant?
Well, as you know, I hadn't suspicions.
Anyway, she doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
It's a mercy she miscarried.
Oh, a convenient mercy.
What exactly do you mean by that, Doctor?
Now, look, Mr. Sniven, we may not approve of unwanted children, but that's not the same thing as encouraging someone to induce an abortion.
I would never do any such thing. And well, you know it.
Then were your stairs she fell down? Do you mean you never even dropped her a wee hint?
Dr. Finley, you should think black burning shame of yourself. I do my best to help other people and I get nothing but abuse and false accusations. That's twice today.
Twice? What do you mean? Somebody else has accused you.
Mrs. McCaffrey said I'd stolen her rent money. And now you call me an abortionist.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but I can only say that the facts look suspicious. Now, look, I've got to be going. The ambulance will be here shortly. I'll have another look at Annie when they get her to the cottage hospital.
Dr. Finley, before you go, I'll tell you the truth of it.
Yes?
The girl did come here to ask me to do, well, just what you're suggesting. I told her I wouldn't do such a wicked thing, even if I knew how. She must have taken it into her head to go upstairs while I was out in the yard. When I came back in, she was lying there, just like I told you.
But why did you not tell me this in the first place?
Hello, Auntie. Oh, what's the matter?
It's nothing, Alice. Nothing you would understand.
If you say so. Hello, Dr. Finley. When are you going fishing again?
Oh, sorry, Alice. I've got more things to think about than fishing at the moment. Good day, Mr. Sniven. Goodbye, Alice.
What's all this about fishing, then? Have you been going down to the river with Dr. Finley?
Oh, Auntie. Oh.
What? Auntie,
it's awful. It's awful. I just don't know how to tell you.
Will you not answer your mother, Hugh? What is it? Are you deaf?
What is it?
Is that all you can say? Never a word of kindness for your mother in her affliction.
What is it you want?
What were you doing in your room?
Reading.
Reading what?
A book.
What kind of a book?
Just a book.
You don't care if your mother dies for want of a cup of tea.
Well, you could get up and make it yourself. You do when I'm out.
And that's most of the time. Where were you last night?
Out.
Out where?
Just out.
Oh, you'll go the same way as your father. There's no sin without punishment, you know.
I know.
Where were you?
Oh, will you shut up? Shut up! Shut up!
I can understand your distress, Mistress Niven. But you must calm yourself before we can get to the point. I've asked Janet to make some tea.
Oh, I don't want tea, Dr. Cannon. I want nothing in this house but justice.
As I see it, Dr. Finley has made a certain suggestion. A wrong one and a hasty one. After reflection, I'm sure that he will now be the first to agree. And I'm sure he will be glad to apologize.
Apologies will not make up for what he's done.
Do you mean there's more?
Dr. Cameron, my niece is pregnant.
I see, and the girl is not married?
You take it very calmly.
As somebody once said, it's astonishing what fortitude we can bring to bear on the misfortunes of others.
I hope you will be able to summon the same fortitude when you know who's got Alice into trouble.
Don't try to mystify me, woman.
And if you don't believe me, you only have to ask the poor girl herself.
Out with it, woman.
It's your own partner. Your precious Dr. Finlay.
Surely, Dr. Cameron, you don't believe it's true.
You do me an injustice, Dr. Finlay.
Oh, I just don't understand it.
On the contrary, you understand it perfectly well. It's a confounded nuisance, that's all.
What do you mean, she isn't pregnant?
Oh, she is certainly pregnant. That is not hysteria. But naming you...
She isn't even my patient, either.
Just as well, Dr. Finlay, in view of the attitude the General Medical Council takes of this sort of thing.
Oh, you surely don't think it's going to come to that.
Oh, I don't think so for one moment. The girl is patently an hysteric, and there is undoubtedly a previous history somewhere of it. Let it be a warning to you.
You talk as if I'd been up to something. Something stupid, at least.
It is never wise to develop a personal interest in a hysterical female.
Yes, you're right, Dr. Cameron. It seems that neither of us is very clever with women.
Neither of us?
I met Donald McAllister this afternoon.
Ah, he's a gossipy old sweet
boy. Yes, he is. He's also the local man for a Glasgow travel agency. You'll be excited to know that he's just fixed up Miss Wright at an hotel in Paris for the week beginning the 18th.
An hotel in Paris?
Yes, a Saint Raphael.
Oh, but this is monstrous. If it...
Oh, don't worry. The woman is obviously an hysteric. There is undoubtedly a previous history somewhere.
Oh, this is no time for facetiousness, Dr. Finlay. Great heavens, that'll be Miss Wright now. I was expecting her.
Look, do nothing, Dr. Cameron. Say nothing. Now, just leave it to me.
Miss Wright, Dr. Cameron.
Good afternoon, Dr. Cameron, Dr. Finlay. Dr. Cameron has some good news.
And I've got some good news too, Miss Wright. Well, it's not all good.
I've been able to...
Dr. Cameron has had to cancel his visit to the conference, but we've arranged things so that I can go in his place.
But I've just arranged my holiday in Paris for the time of the conference.
But that's a bit of luck. You'll be able to show me the sights of Paris.
But it was practically understood. I was looking forward to it. You can't upset my arrangements like this.
Well, won't you have a nice cup of tea, Miss Wright?
I'll work hard at my grammar, I promise you.
Dr. Finlay, I don't think I could possibly find the time.
Miss Wright, I must thank you for the coaching you've given me. And for your patience. And...
Goodbye, Dr. Cameron.
It's just as well Miss Wright has left. You have a patient waiting, Dr. Cameron. A lad called Hugh Manderson.
I should have listened to my mother, Dr. Cameron. She told me if I ever had anything to do with women, I'd get a disease.
Uh-huh.
Have I got it, Doctor?
I don't think so for one moment. There's nothing to see. The blood test will put your mind at rest, but just in case, we should know the name of the girl. Annie Dugan, maybe?
Well, it isn't fair to tell.
Your sense of honor does you credit. Very well, we won't pursue that for the moment. Now off you go. Be careful in the future.
Oh, it'll never happen again, Doctor.
Don't commit yourself, man. You've your whole life ahead of you. Not everybody is designed to be a celibate.
How much will that be?
I call it a private matter between men. If you like, I'll give you another opportunity to satisfy my medical curiosity. Who was the obliging lady?
Oh, well, I don't suppose it'll make any difference. She does it with everybody.
Does she indeed?
You'll not know her, Doctor. It was Alice Moyer, Mistress Niven's niece.
You don't say. You. On second thoughts, I will make a charge. You'll run an errand for me. Take this note to Mr. Sniven. I want her here right away. In 3 minutes.
Here you are.
You don't need to say any more, Doctor. I've never been so affronted. I'll never lift my head again.
Well, you're right to be affronted. You realize what you nearly did.
Dr. Finley, I did not bring Mistress Niven here to recriminate. We all make mistakes, don't we, Dr. Finley?
Aye, that's true enough. Excuse me. Arden House. Yes, speaking.
I would have come anyway, Dr.
Yes?
Cameron. The minute I phoned my sister.
Oh.
She didn't even know Alice was here. It's the third time she's run away this year. Stealing, telling lies, chasing men, mad.
Oh, I see, yes.
I wouldn't have believed it. Butter wouldn't melt in her mouth.
Really? When?
Did her mother never think that she might be in Tannock Brae? Oh,
of course she did. She wrote to me.
Name of goodness.
The slyness of that wee bosom. You stay in bed, Auntie. I'll bring up the post. I'll post your letter for you, Auntie. Oh, every word she's told me is a lie.
She...
Not quite every word. She is pregnant.
Aye. A month before she came here. I think that's the only reason she did come here. She thought... Well, she thought the same as Dr. Finley.
Right, Sergeant. Thank you for letting me know. Yes. Goodbye now.
I'll never trust anyone again.
Well, you should trust Annie Dugan. The rape was real. That was Sergeant Gilby on the phone. They've caught the man. Some chap from Lanark.
Where did they catch him?
Same place. Tried it again in broad daylight this time. He has some fierce bruises, Sergeant Gilby tells me. Annie's brother set a trap for him, with Annie acting as the decoy.
Oh, The brave wee thing. And to think what I said about that lass when my own flesh and blood was robbing my own purse. And Mrs. McCaffrey's rent money.
Oh, yes, the rent money. How much was it?
Nearly £6. I'll have to pay her that myself.
Just a minute. I think we might be able to help there. Do you have a fiver on you, Dr. Cameron? You do owe me one.
Dr. Finley, I do not
Shall
recall.
I remind you of the circumstances right now?
Well, I'll take your word for it, Dr. Finley. There you are.
There you are, Mr. Sniffen. Now, why don't you take that round to Mrs. McCaffrey now?
Oh, my. I don't know what to say.
Well, just don't say anything, Mr. Sniffen. Believe me, it won't be missed.
Huh?
Good day, Mr. Sniffen.
Oh, well... Good day, Dr. Finley. Dr. Cameron. Thank you.
Well, that's that, I hope.
Do you realize, Dr. Finley, that suddenly there's not one woman in our lives?
Except Janet.
And Janet has left to visit her cousin overnight.
Well, then you're right, Dr. Cameron. Not a single female person of any size, shape, color, or creed.
It's a pity about Paris, though.
Where's the pity? Miss Wright will never go now. And what if she does? You've plenty of time to change to another hotel.
Oh, the brilliant simplicity of it, Dr. Finley. Thank you.
Not at all. Thank you, Dr. Cameron. Now, would you care to try some French?
I think not. Just for this evening, maybe. I would rather concentrate on the other side of the old alliance. Will you take a dram with me,
Dr. Finley?
You've been listening to Snares and Pitfalls, written by Clifford Hanley and adapted for radio by Pat Dunlop from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin and broadcast by arrangement with Graham Stewart. The cast was as follows. Dr. Cameron, Andrew Cruikshank, Janet, Barbara Mullen, Dr. Finley, Bill Simpson, Mistress Niven, Effie Morrison, Annie Dugan, Margaret Robertson, Alice Moyer, Yvonne Gillen, Sergeant Gilby, Duncan McIntyre, Miss Wright, Audrey Muir, Mrs. Manderson, Margot Boyd, Hugh Manderson, Nigel Anthony. The play was produced by Trafford Whitelock.